Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Mark James, Andy Hart. It's James and Hart getting you through your Saturday on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
This will be interesting, though, because he's a little, you know, crazy too, Hart.
Oh, he is?
No, Dickerson's yes, more is. Crazy than Hart.
Nobody's crazier than you, Mark.
No, I
you're the
that.
Craziest freaking guy I've ever worked with.
What's crazy about Andy Hart?
And can you say that? Can you say that more time again, cleanly, without any interruption? Say that, Mark James. You are the what? Say it,
Mark James. You are the craziest friggin' guy I have ever worked with.
No,
thank you.
Yeah,
that is
and
not
I spent
true.
Like 20 years with Dino.
It is true. I have never seen Jerry like this between breaks, and I was there with John
it
Dennis in the
you
heyday.
Are nuts.
Bust.
I mean, you don't have sex for 6 months because you're focused on football.
All right, the maiden voyage, the show I never wanted to happen, but here we are, James and Hart on WEI.
It's a working title.
Right, yes, it's certainly...
Alphabetically, I think the Hart is supposed to come first.
I don't even care about that. I always like James at the end anyway because it just sounds better. Because you don't want to say, who's James Hart? Hart and James, it doesn't matter. That's the least...
No, the most important thing is you showed up.
Oh, I was showing up.
Well,
I
mean, you said you would never do a show with me.
Well, you know,
now here you are.
I'm a team player. Number one, I'm a team player, and I didn't think first of all, as soon as I saw this on the schedule, I went to Joe Zarba. I literally, I'm telling you the truth, and I said, Andy Hart and me, why? He goes, oh, let's just see what happens. I'm like, okay. I guess the only thing going for you is that I didn't think Dickerson and I would work out together, and I loved working with Dickerson. I don't know if I think I like working with you at all, though, because I don't.
You just want to do a solo show, right?
No,
you're Mr. National solo show.
No, it's not. I just didn't think that you're. You know, like you call. You're not a radio guy.
Why is that?
Well, you're not a radio guy. You're a writer.
But why is that? You know, I've been doing radio and podcast for 20 years. TV, radio, and writing. They all go together now. That's the modern media
landscape.
But I mean,
landscape. Have you done radio full-time, though?
No.
Okay. So that's what I mean. I'm like talking about full-time
But what does that
radio.
Mean? We're not doing radio full-time now. It's Saturday 11 to 4 or 3. If you're doing full-time radio, you wouldn't be on right now.
Right? This is true. But yes, which I have been here for like a year and 3 months. But unfortunately, that's the situation I'm in time. But what I meant was like, you're not like to me, to be a radio guy, like you have to go and I'll just throw this out there. Prior to him coming to WEI, Rich Keefe never did a show. Like he never hosted co-hosted a show. Like he was
filled in.
He was the co-host
for Adam, and he filled in when Adam was out.
So that's what I mean. It's like, you know, Reamer's never been a radio guy.
Right.
So it's like you're not the only like.
But I've done more radio than those guys. People just don't know.
Okay. Yeah.
Patriots.com. We have done online radio,
but that's not real radio.
But it is.
Well,
no. Because how?
Why isn't it?
Were you really critical of Robert Kraft and the whole thing?
We were extremely critical of everything except Robert Kraft.
Oh.
Just like I always.
What about
say,
Aaron Hernandez?
Very. We talked about that openly, as openly as anyone. I would say the stop sign was the employer. Just like I think it is here.
Right?
Because if you rip the employer here, this will be your last Saturday shift.
Right. Well, here's the thing.
Everybody has a boss.
I know that. Just basically of a place that I just left recently. So right. I'm well aware of that. You can't.
But other than that, we have talked openly, and it's unfortunate because the podcast does very well globally. It's not as popular locally just because people have an easier opportunity to get another station.
There's 8 million podcasts out there right now, and you have probably 10 or less that make money.
Correct.
Joe Rogan, pardon my take.
Correct.
I'm sure Kirk's going to do very well. Barstool, he's already top 5, if not number 1. He debuts on money.
So some of those are misleading, you know. I like when people put those out there.
Why?
The way the, what do they call it, algorithms work.
Oh, okay.
If you're new and a lot of people are signing up,
then
it bumps you way up. What? Once you hit a level playing field, now I'm not ripping Barstool or any of those guys because there's a lot of them that have been
there
forever.
Part of my take is like
forever.
Yeah, great.
But there are others where they benefit from sort of the fastest growing. Oh, that one's up 100,000,000%. You know why? It just started. People just started subscribing this week. We'll see if he stays there as things move forward. And he probably will. Barstool obviously has a very strong following.
No, he is a strong. Yeah,
he's a lightning rod and he has a popular. But there's some misleading nature in some of those. But I've been doing this forever. Now, the difference that you should call me out upon is I've been doing Patriots forever.
Well, that's the thing.
The branching out is talking about everything.
Well, here's the thing. You and I actually worked together last year on Dale and Keith.
I thought we had.
We did.
I couldn't remember.
We did. We did. It was
me, you, and Keith. I'm pretty sure I produced that show.
You did?
Was it good?
Yeah.
That's why I don't really remember it.
First time ever is always hard, though. With any
Correct.
Host.
Like this one. You saying this one's going to suck?
Well, since you guys have already worked together, I think it's already off to a much better start.
Not sure we ever really worked together.
It was me. You, I remember it was the old studio on Market Street.
Yes,
it was across. It was that. Yep. It was in afternoons and all that stuff. But my thing was just that, and you know what? Who knows? I was like, really, Joe? Like,
it's gonna be perfect, and you know why? Because you like to say bombastic things, correct? You're crazy, as Jerry says.
Well, yeah, Jerry. For Jerry to say that me being crazy is some of the people that he's worked with, that's actually a compliment.
Yeah, he wasn't being honest. There's no way you're crazier than the last guy. Absolutely no chance you're crazier than the last. You're at least two on the list. I don't know where all the others fall, and you're at least two. But it's going to work because you
Mark
like
James,
to say...
Mark James, you are the craziest friggin' guy I have ever worked with.
He lost all credibility right there.
Why?
Because everyone listening knows that's not true.
Well, no, because then he even expounded. He goes, and I've worked with Dino.
Yeah, but he didn't list the guy that's number one on the list.
Oh,
he doesn't talk about that guy anymore.
No.
That's third rail that's not touched.
No. I definitely not.
I sort of dozed off during that long and rambling talk about the...
No, yeah, Dino.
That guy. That's some audacity there. The guy with a seven-part question talks about long and rambling.
I was probably crazier than Dino, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, Dino...
I don't know how crazy you are in the real world.
Not.
Are you an alcoholic?
I don't drink.
Okay, so you're not out, living it up?
I mean,
we've all read about some of your issues, and you've talked about those, but I don't know how
crazy
you are.
I don't really have any issues other than texting the wrong girl who decided to blow me up and put my stuff on babe.net. That was the only issue I really had.
Babe.net.
Yes.
Never been there.
Yeah, so that's about the only issue. No, I mean, I live a pretty mundane life.
But you like to be hot takes on the air.
No, it's not hot takes. I call them paid opinions. I like to...
Can I call you out on one that struck a nerve with me?
Yeah, absolutely.
Actually, a couple in one show.
Go for it.
You did something draft weekend. I don't know, it was Saturday, Sunday, maybe both. I was driving into the draft listening to you.
Okay.
Which was regrettable. Because... The two things I heard you say...
The only thing more regrettable would be listening to you, but go ahead. Yes.
The two things I heard you say is accuse Dave Gettleman of potentially being racist for his pick of Daniel Jones over...
Dwayne Haskins.
Dwayne Haskins.
Yep.
Which I thought was interesting at worst and a career attack at even worse, right? I mean, you went after him.
I covered him in Charlotte with the Carolina Panthers. I don't understand why.
But do you think he's a racist? You accused him of being racist, that it was a racial decision.
Because that is
inappropriate.
Okay, fair enough. But, like, there's no way, if you watch college football as much as I do, that anyone could think that Daniel Jones was a better quarterback than Dwayne Haskins, much the way I thought the Bears were. So what were they doing when they took Mitch Trubisky over Deshaun Watson?
Right, except they were doing what they thought was right. Did you accuse the Bears of being racist?
Yes.
Jesus, you have a history of this?
No,
you have a track record?
Because
anytime you take the white quarterback, you call the other team racist? What are we doing here?
Because there's no way on earth, and the Giants will find this out the hard ways, they have to face Dwayne Haskins with the Redskins
but
now.
But they're already loving Jones.
We'll see.
There's already
talk. What has he done? He's done nothing.
Impressed them throughout the process of the spring.
So
I'm going to tell you, you can be unimpressive or impressive right out the gate. And he's been impressive. And they're talking about
him. So people
like
you can tweet and say, oh, today N'Keal Harry's jockstrap was purple before he came out in the field. What does that mean? What is
no,
OTAs?
No, this isn't a media thing. This is they feel good about what they've done. And you accuse them of being racist. They made a decision based on skin color. Do you stand by that?
I think
that's idiotic.
Well, first of all, he's not a racist. But
okay.
I'm wondering. I asked the question. I asked the question. I'm like, what could it be? Why you would any GM would take Daniel Jones over Dwayne Haskins?
You are a racist, sir. But are there not other issues that could have been in play?
Like
length
what?
Of play. Haskins is a 1 year guy. He had ridiculous production with whatever 50 touchdowns. He had limited starting time. Daniel Jones.
Wait a second. He started the year before.
No, he didn't.
Wait, no. What are you talking about?
Haskins is not a 2-year starter.
No. They had JT Barrett.
Right.
Okay.
Haskins, I believe, started 14 games in his career.
Okay, but
so you could like the longevity of one guy or the other, nature.
So what about Mitch Trubisky over Deshaun Watson?
And do the Bears regret that? I don't know.
I would hope so.
All I'm reading now is how the Bears are a Super Bowl contender.
Trubisky. Well, whatever.
That's not to say they couldn't be. Because guess what? I can tell you for a fact, Bill O'Brien loves Deshaun Watson.
And
he thinks he has his guy.
And he does.
For all the issues they have in Houston, and we can probably get to some of those later, he loves Watson.
There's no way that, like, Dave Gettleman was the only one. First of all, he could have got, didn't they have another?
But he's not a racist. I mean, I don't know that he's not a racist. I don't believe he made that decision as a racist.
Okay,
simply
fair enough.
Based on skin color.
But then I'm trying to ascertain why you would pick a quarterback who's inferior.
But you can't go to race, like, as quickly as you did. There are a few things in this world that you don't want to be labeled, right? Like a pedophile, a racist, some of those things, because as soon as you're attached to those, they're really hard to get rid of, right? Rape charges. You should know that.
I'm just trying to understand why you would pick a guy who's, there's nobody on earth.
I would list 100 reasons before I called a guy a racist on the radio.
Well, on draft weekend. I'm asking the question why, because there's no other reason why you would pick Daniel Jones over Dwayne Haskins.
In your opinion.
No, like in probably 31 other GMs' opinions.
Yeah, I don't know that. So you don't buy any of the stories that other teams were interested?
No.
That he had to take him there because there were at least two teams that were going to pounce? Now, you are fair to question those because I don't believe any of the crap.
They had another pick coming up. They could have got him. Didn't they have another pick at like 17?
Somewhere in there.
Right, they could have got him there. He would have been sitting right there.
That's not their story. Again, you can choose to just totally disregard their story.
They overdrafted it. It's not
Cutcliffe backed up their story. Now, again, that's his boy defending his new employer.
And Cutcliffe's a quarterback guy. Yeah, right. Peyton, Eli.
Okay, so that was the first one. Now I got point B. Same show.
Yep.
Same exact show. A caller calls in and questioned something the Packers were doing. And you immediately said, Ted Thompson this, and you ripped him. And I'm like,
Ted Thompson hasn't
been there in 2+ years.
Right.
And this was shortly thereafter.
I think it was Clinton Dix. By the way, I love how you're picking up like little things.
This is the only time I listened to you for an extended period, to be honest with you. I was driving in, weekend, draft, whatever.
I've never listened to you for an extended period, so that's more than you listen to me.
Well, you didn't really have the opportunity. You would have to have sought me out on a podcast.
Right.
So,
by the way, podcasts are like a-holes. Everyone has one. They all stink for the most part. Okay. Unless you're Joe Rogan, part of my take.
That's fine. I don't really care what you think about podcasts.
No, but I mean,
there's a lot of very popular podcasts. Now, I will get into, there's a difference between popular.
But you're talking about podcasts. I hosted the longest nationally syndicated sports talk show of all time. Like, more people know Jim Rome than a podcast on Patriots.com.
So your claim to fame is Jim Rome?
No. I actually don't know, but I'm saying
I worked alongside Tom Brady for 20 years. Okay. That doesn't mean I'm Tom Brady.
No, I know that, but I'm saying I actually hosted his show.
How many times? Once? Twice? Three times?
Probably 30 times.
Great. Okay. I don't care. Okay. I never heard it.
But more people heard that, me interviewing Steph Curry on there, than they heard your Patriots.com pissant podcast.
Well, it's not a pissant podcast. Okay. I can tell you more people listen to that than you're probably listening to us right now.
Than Jim Rome?
No. Get out of the past. Who cares about
you filled NWEI
right now? Yeah.
No. Yeah. Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So you don't
know
podcasts?
No. You saying more people listen to Patriots.com than WEI?
No. Right now, I'm saying the people that are listening right now is less than podcasts on Patriots.com.
There's no way.
Well, it is. It's fact.
How do you know?
It's fact.
How many people listen?
I have no idea, but I know it's a large number.
Oh, you have no idea!
And I've had people here tell me
that. So you're
pulling
up Bart Scott saying, I don't know the facts.
I don't know the exact number. So unlike you, I'm not just going to throw a number out there.
But you just said you have the facts.
152,000. I can make it up if you want. I don't know the exact number. 152,000. Let's say that.
Okay, but not...
How many countries do you think listen?
Not live.
No. Okay. That's not how podcasts work. Most people don't listen to them live.
Right. Fair enough. But like you said, 100...
Live is 10, 12,000 listeners, maybe.
But you,
I have no idea.
But there's no way, unless you're talking about one of the top five, Bill Simmons.
Have you ever seen the Patriots.com post-game show and those little rankings you like to look at on podcasts?
No.
Because guess what? It very frequently on the Monday morning after games is in the top 25, top 20.
But it's comparing it to all the ones that you think are great and lucrative and godly,
and Jim Rome and all the guys you love.
Okay, but do you know that is the equivalent of being the most popular guy in prison. Who cares?
Wait, so I just showed you that it's competitive with other podcasts with big numbers that you think are great.
You mean after the game? Did you monetize it? Did you make any extra money on it?
Me or them?
They certainly did. Well, of course they did.
Okay. Yeah. How would I monetize it? I worked for them. It was like this place. You show up when they tell you to show up.
Right. So not many podcasts are monetized at all.
But that one is.
Okay.
They sell it. Just because me, one of the co-hosts, didn't make the money doesn't mean no one was making it.
Okay. But nobody in the radio world, if I went to Steve Cohen, he would not know who you were.
That's fine.
Okay.
What, do you know who you are?
Yes. Okay. I've known him for 15 years.
Well, then how come you're not blowing up if all these powerful people know and love you?
Well, I've done radio for 16 years.
Okay, but why are you working a Saturday afternoon with little Andy Hart if you're such a big guy, big timer?
Because I have to wait for till certain stations make changes.
Okay.
That's why.
Okay.
Because
right now, you and I are equals.
I agree.
Actually, we're not even equals.
Right. Well,
I work here full time. You don't.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, you're the ninth choice after Evan Drellick and everybody else.
You can think that if you want.
Well,
I know it's not true.
I know Evan Drellick turned it down.
And we'll see.
What do you mean, we'll see? He turned it down and then
not what I was told.
Well, then you were told wrong.
Could be. We all have sources that are wrong. Well,
you were told dead wrong.
Could be.
Okay.
But yeah. I got what I wanted. Have you gotten what you want?
I've done radio, TV. I never heard of you before I came to this market.
Okay, I've never heard of you. I don't even know your real name. I don't make up my name.
Okay.
What's your real name?
Mark James
is your real
Benarzik,
name.
And I go by my middle name, Mark James.
And why is that?
Because when I went to Charlotte, I took over for Billy Packer's son, Mark Packer. They didn't want somebody in this down south to have the last name Benarzik, so I went with Mark James. So that's what the program director's like. What's your middle name, Mark James? I go, Mark James. I'm not making up anything.
But why
it's on my
here?
Birth certificate.
You don't want to go back to your real name?
No, Mark James is fine.
Do people call you Mark James just everywhere?
Yeah,
that's become your identity.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Then that was a program director's decision.
But it's not his anymore.
It's on my birth certificate.
Right, but it's not his anymore.
Okay, so
I mean,
so
you can move on and be whatever you want.
But I like it.
Okay,
it's fine.
Okay.
You know what Dan Patrick's last name is?
No idea.
Pugh.
Okay.
P-U-G-H.
I could see why he moved on.
Right. So he uses his middle
Dan
name Patrick.
Pugh.
What does that mean? The bottom line is this: you suck on the air and radio.
I'm fine with that.
Okay, that's fine.
I don't care about your opinion.
I would do a better show for 4 hours without you.
I know.
See, that's
where you're at. You want to do a show alone.
Well, yeah,
that's your thing.
No, I would rather do it with Dickerson. But I know I would do a much better show without you than
why?
I would
if you're
with
so
you.
Good. Why can't you carry me?
Well, I don't need you. I could do a better show without
but why
you.
Why can't you carry me? You're so good.
But
you should be able to lift those. It's like when a receiver comes to New England.
But
Brady will make them better.
I'm
with the great Mark James.
No,
he filled in for Jim Rome.
You could leave right now.
I know I could.
And I wouldn't need you.
But I'm not going to.
If I walked out of the studio.
But you know who needs me?
Could you do a solo show?
You know who? Of course.
I don't want to. You could do a solo show.
Can I tell you a little secret?
Could you do a solo show?
Solo shows suck.
No, okay. So Colin Cowherd makes $6 million a year.
That's fine.
Okay.
Solo shows suck.
Well, maybe
I can tell you as a listener.
In this market, they might, but they don't.
Yes.
Nationally, they don't.
Well, that's because national radio,
which is
what you are,
okay.
And I give you credit. You have worked in national radio, and I think you are better suited for that.
But I'm
sort
from
of
here.
Superficial, high-level discussions, hot takes, national radio.
But I'm from Mass, so I'd want to
be fine.
Boston.
That's fine.
Yeah.
But I think solo shows do not work as well on a local level.
Well, who's doing a solo show right now in this market?
Well, you want.
No, I'm saying who is doing one?
No one. Because
exactly.
It's hard to do. It's
not really.
See, I think it's hard to do really well.
Eamon, you and I have worked together for a year and 3 months. Do I have any issues doing a solo show?
I mean, you don't have any issues, but I do agree with Hart that it is hard to do.
Well, they're hard to do if you haven't done them before.
No, I'm not talking about from your skill level.
Okay.
I think as a host, I haven't listened, but I'm sure you're fine at it. I'm talking about as a listener, what I want to listen to.
Well, I think
solo radio in this market,
this market is not built on solo radio. It's not predicated on solo radio. That's why.
And the problem
every,
with solo
every
radio
show
is
two hosts or three.
Right. And part of that is to call somebody out if they make a mistake or say something stupid or just have a take that really needs to be questioned. Now, I'm sure you take calls and that's the idea. We'll have interaction. I'll say something dumb. The callers call me out. Right. That's part of it. But I think it's better when there's an actual discussion on the show. Points, counterpoints, back and forth, different views.
Because you can never simulate somebody else.
Right.
That's the bottom line. So that's the thing.
So that's why I think a lot have gone three.
Right.
There's a lot of three-man shows.
Yeah.
And if you want to get into radio behind the scenes, I think it was why the original Big O show back in the day was so good. Because it was a rotating cast of multiple opinions brought in as experts on the topic of the week, topic of the day, that butted heads, brought information, looked at things from different angles. That's what people want, right?
They want dissenting opinions.
Right.
I would say that.
So,
and your obviously opinion is going to be totally different than mine,
right? But naturally, on a one man show, the dissenting opinions at best come from callers or emailers or tweets.
I can do whatever. Whatever you want me to do. Solo show, co-host.
And that's good. You're a radio guy. You should be able to do that.
Well, you called me a TV guy last week.
Well, you told me you're a radio guy, so I'm going to take you at your word. You are my new partner in crime for these 4 hours. I'm going to take you at your word.
I've been doing it since 04. I've only worked in TV full-time here in Boston.
And you hated TV?
No.
Oh.
No, I didn't.
They hated you.
I just like doing opinions on TV.
Well, I don't like TV. I don't like doing any of the NBC Boston sports shows because it's too packaged and segmented.
No, but at least you get
discussions.
But at least you get to give your opinions there.
Sort of.
No.
It's still chopped up. It's not like you do radio and you have three breaks an hour, but you have 4 hours, and you know, I'm going to get my point across today. There is TV shows where, boom, you go on a break, and then the next segment, we've moved on to this game about, you know, what's up next, and you move on to the Red Sox. You're like, I wasn't really done with that. I want to discuss that. TV doesn't allow for that.
You have to be...
Certainly not your station when it...
One of those shows in the morning,
15 minutes or 20 minutes?
Exactly.
Or,
you don't get a chance to do that, which is fine. Listen, everybody does business different ways.
Right.
I'd rather do opinion. If long as you're doing opinion TV the way ESPN does it,
yep,
like First Take or a PTI around the horn, then at least then you have some sort of thing. I'm not into the George Michael Sports Machine 1981 highlight shows.
Right, and I don't think anybody is. Now, there can be a blend. You can inform and then opine, then have opinions based on the news of the day, because I do think not everybody knows everything. I think we assume that a little too often sometimes in this culture because, Twitter and social media, everybody knows everything immediately, and we don't need to inform them or tell them what happened. We need to take that next step. And I think every once in a while you can bring information to the table and then entertain or have an opinion-based discussion.
All right, Eamon is giving me the wrap sign. We're, 5 minutes past it? 617.
And you already tried to run me out of the studio. I just want to say, you asked me to leave. I'm not leaving. I'm staying right here.
No.
You said you can leave, and I'll do a solo show.
I said
you pointed to the parking lot.
Right, but I said I could leave, and you couldn't do a solo show.
I think I could
do a much better show without you. 617-779-7937. Well, at least you admit it would be bad. All right, that's the number to get in. We haven't even got to the Bruins. We haven't even gotten to...
It's just all about us right now.
David, Big Poppy Ortiz. We have not even gotten to the Celtics and what they're going to do with the draft. We'll get to all that and how the Bruins choked on Thursday night was absolutely awful. Now it's time to trend.
You're so good. Why can't you carry me?
Well, I don't need you.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now back to James and Hart on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
The Black Aces are out. The team has swarmed Jordan Binnington. The coaches are hugging and crying. I can't believe it. I cannot believe what I am witnessing right now. St. Louis, a team that was put together in the fall. New faces, new roles. They struggled and struggled and bent. And on the verge of breaking, they found their game after Christmas. They came together. They fought together. They won together. And now they are Stanley Cup champions together. This is not a dream. This is real life St. Louis. Let's party.
Oh, man. The wounds are still fresh, man. Oh, boy.
Is that real? Is that their play-by-play guy, St. Louis's?
Yeah, I believe so, right? Was that Chris?
Sure is.
Chris Kerber is his name? Because we was on with Mont Callahan that one time, and I said, do you just get used to St. Louis being Boston's bitch? And whoops, I must have jumped the gun on that one. I mean, they were with the Patriots over the Rams and then the Red Sox over the Cardinals twice in the World Series, and it should have been that way for the fourth time.
Could have been.
Since 2001, and unfortunately, what happened on Thursday night was an abomination, and I'll say it, and this is not a hot take, this is just the truth. The Bruins choked. The Bruins had an ample opportunity. They absolutely choked.
How?
Is St. Louis just used to becoming Boston's bitch?
Probably no more than the level of class a lot of Blues fans saw from the fans at the arena the other night, which might have been even lower than that comment, but...
Oh. Yeah, he didn't like that one. I guess
there's another fan of yours. They're all over the country. Yeah,
they're everywhere. They're everywhere. But
wait a minute. Let's get, like, because this has been a popular debate for the last 2+ days.
Yeah.
That they choked.
Yep.
What exactly is your definition of choke? Like, how did they choke? Did Tuca choke?
No. The one line choked.
See, that I can agree
the
with.
The one line
didn't
choked.
Show up.
No, no. The one line, I'll tell you something. I was the biggest Tuca critic. Because I don't look at, hey, to me, when they call someone a hater is someone who doesn't get paid to make an opinion. So at least if I get paid to make an opinion, I'm somewhat of a critic. Tuca was great. The whole postseason. Oh, yeah, there was a bad start against Toronto.
Right.
And, you know, here and there, Tuca
was good enough to win the Stanley Cup.
Absolutely. And now the first goal, not the second one. The second one was Marchand's fault.
Correct.
When he decided
and ended the game in the series.
Yes. Yes, he decided to do a shift change with 10 seconds left, and they score with 8 seconds to go by the defenseman, Petrangelo. Tuca was amazing. I will say it. With all due respect to Jerry Cheevers, Andy Moog, Rogi Vachon, you could go on and on and on. Lemlin, we'll go on and on and on. Well, Tim Thomas, that 2011, but I'm saying that Tuca's probably the greatest sustained goalie in Bruins history now.
But it doesn't matter because they lost.
That's it.
I wrote it, and I think I'm supposed to do this now as a part-time writer / part-time radio guy on the website in the station. I wrote on WEEI.com, this was Tuca's chance to be legendary, right? And all you had to do was win. He could have been bad. He could have won a cup 5-4 in game 7 and let up 4 soft goals, but history would have said Tuca won the cup. Tuca was great. Probably would have won the Conn Smythe trophy, and everything would have been perfect. The narrative would have changed about him. Now, if you're a Tuca hater, if you're a true Tuca hater, I think if you're objective, you've said Tuca was good enough. Tuca didn't cost anything. But if you're a true Tuca hater,
he was amazing.
This is another game with the season on the line, the cup on the line, where they didn't win, and he gave up 2 early goals. And I think if you're a true hater, you can spin it towards Tuca was part of the problem in this game, right? And that's unfortunate because, to me, this was very close to the 07 Patriots. They were about to be anointed the greatest team in NFL history.
And now they're
nothing.
I know.
Now you look at these lists of like the top 20 best teams.
Well, the greatest team that never won.
They don't make it.
I know.
So they went from the greatest team in history to, you know, also ran in the rankings. Tuca did the same thing.
So if the 07 Patriots, and I remember that team so well. I remember on a Sunday night, because unfortunately I was living in my Miami at the time, and that was the night that...
Did you go to Miami?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
It's weird. You never mentioned it.
No, and that night, unfortunately, sad story, the night that the Patriots played the Eagles on a Sunday night, A.J. Feely almost beat them in Foxborough. Remember that one, right?
Yep.
Sean Taylor was shot that night in Miami and ultimately was murdered. But
if
the Patriots, and then the Baltimore game, the Ravens game, that one also
the timeout that Rex Ryan they called, and then it went the Patriots' way. It was a false start or something.
So there was that, and
but it didn't matter if they won that Super Bowl; they were going to be anointed.
If you switched the final regular season game of the year at the Meadowlands with the result of the Super Bowl, the Patriots are the greatest team in history,
and there's probably not even much of a debate. People would give it to you.
You would get people like that crackhead Mercury Morris to say, oh, there's only one team who's never been undefeated, got defeated in a season. That's the 1972 Miami Dolphins. They had that commercial queued up.
Every list would have put the Patriots as the greatest team of all time.
No doubt.
They're also Rans. No one cares.
Here's the thing.
And the same thing with Tuca, because you didn't finish the job as a team.
I get it. Here's the thing. I still think the 07 Patriots are arguably the greatest team in NFL history. I really do.
I think you can have that argument.
But not
many people would agree with you because everyone is about the ring. Remember the America's Game on NFL Network?
Yeah.
And then they started doing the ones about teams that came up short.
Yes.
You know, never won it type teams. Like Randy Moss actually was on 2 of them because he was on the 98 Vikings. Another team that was 15-1, should have been one of the greatest of all time.
Lost to the Dirty Birds.
But everybody forgets about it because you don't win. And it's the same thing with Tuca. I wonder how this is going to play out for Tuca moving forward.
Well, I could say this. Tuca's fine. He's the guy who solidified himself. This was the moment. The thing that sucks for me.
But he got beat by a mid-year goalie.
He got beat by a lifetime AHL goalie.
Right.
Tuca!
I don't know what they call it in hockey, but he's a 4A player in baseball.
Right. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. A lifetime AHL goalie. Tuca was fine. My thing is this. Here's the difference between Tuca. He let in 4 goals on 20 shots on Thursday night. Tim Thomas saved 37 shots in Game 7 on the road in Vancouver.
So Tuca choked?
No, he didn't choke. Oh. He didn't. I can't say. I won't say Tuukka choked because Tuukka, he didn't get any support. He got no support. He's like, you know, like a lot of professional athletes, you know, side pieces. They get no support. He got no support. That one line sucked.
Yes.
They were awful. They didn't do anything. They were on the ice for two Blues goals. They had a minus two in the series. The worst was, as you could get this one too, Eamon. I call him David Soft as Bleep because David Pasternak.
That was my first experience of the nicknames.
Minus seven in the series, the worst of anyone on the one line. They did not come to play, and you can sit here and, oh, you know what else I don't like yesterday, and no one's brought this up? So the Bruins came out yesterday. This really pissed me off. More than, well, not more than losing game seven at home and paying over $1,000 to go to it, but besides
that. You paid over $1,000 to go?
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have an old Nessun pass you could have just flashed?
No, I paid over $1,000, man.
You regret it?
No, because I got to go to game seven, and it sucks that we didn't win, I'm a lifelong Bruins fan, so it sucks that it didn't go the way, but no.
But the game sucked.
Yeah.
Like, it was fun early.
Right.
And then sucked out of it with that goal.
When they scored 7.9 seconds left.
It was over. Right.
Over. No team.
And you were counting the money you spent.
No team since game seven. Oh, I lost more betting-wise than the Bruins and Golden State. So
I hear you do that a lot.
Yeah.
This is real life, St. Louis. Let's party.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too. I don't have anything in St. Louis. And, oh, this is what pissed me off yesterday. So the Bruins released their injury list, yeah. And it went through everything. To me, why?
Yeah, I've never understood
that. Like, to me, you know what that was?
Excuses?
That was a list of excuses. That's exactly what that was. Oh, Krejci had this, and Pasternak had a sore thumb.
He didn't take the excuse. He said, yeah, the thumb got re-injured, but it was really more of a mental issue for me.
But why release that after the Stanley Cup?
They always do it. And some people, there's two schools of thought.
You don't think St. Louis was banged up?
Right. They all are. And then some people take it as a positive. Yeah, look what all these guys went through. Chara. We knew Chara was going through craziness.
Yeah, he broke his jaw.
But they do it in all sports. It happens to Brady a lot.
Yeah.
After the year, oh, he had a surgery on this. Oh,
Patriots
he played with a broken rib in his Achilles,
though.
Blah, blah, blah. Well, because they usually win, so you usually don't have to make an excuse.
Right.
It's an excuse when you lose.
Right, except for Philly and the two Giants.
Right.
Other than that, the Patriots, to me, when they released that yesterday, I got to tell you, I lost so much respect for the Bruins.
But they do it every year. It's common hockey. It's common hockey because we always know.
But it's over, though. It's over.
Right. And I don't know why you have to do it.
Right.
But they've always done it, and I wonder if it's one of those things. Oh, we just do it because this is what we always
do. Did the Blues release that Petrangelo and Tarasenko and all these guys are banged up? What do you think? I mean, like, it happens. It's hockey. It's the toughest trophy to win in sports. Is it not? 16 grueling wins it takes to win it. St. Louis, and here's the reason why they choked, because the Bruins were the better team, and they had an ample opportunity.
Were they?
Yeah, they were.
The way they played in the series?
No, but they were the better. On paper, the Bruins will never be in a better position to win the Stanley Cup than they. Everything was. They didn't have to face Tampa
right. In
the second round. They didn't have to face the Capitals in the Eastern Conference Finals, thanks to Carolina. They didn't have to face Pittsburgh. Then, like San Jose, I thought San Jose would have been a tougher match. Logan Couture was the hottest guy in the playoffs this side of Tuukka, and he was a skater. You had, Eric Karlsson, who would own the Bruins 2 years ago when he was with Ottawa. Brent Burns. You had the Jumbo Thornton, Joe Thornton storyline. You know, like, they had I thought.
Oh, there were a lot of people that were disappointed that the Blues were the matchup because it was just kind of a boring series. We'll go win it. It's not going to be fun. Careful what you wish for, because you lost.
I thought it was a choke job, I will tell you. I think it's overall, in my lifetime, the third worst.
But they went to Game 7, and they were the more aggressive team to open Game 7, correct?
But they didn't choke.
I don't know how you can come out in Game 7 as the more aggressive team. You didn't lay down on the road. You made it come back to Boston so people like you could spend thousands of dollars on tickets. They didn't choke. They lost.
You're the prohibitive favorite. You're the prohibitive favorite, and I think going into that game the other night, it was like minus 165 to win 100 for the Bruins around that. You choked.
But a lot of people, I think part of the being the favorite was people didn't trust the Blues.
Like the Patriots in 07 choked.
Yes.
Right.
And I would say it's similar. People didn't trust the Giants. If you're an odds maker, you say, the Giants got hot to get in, then they've been winning. But the Patriots have been good all year. They've been the best team. The Bruins were the better team, except for the fact that people weren't looking at what the Blues have done to go from last place to get to Game 7 of the Stanley Cup.
It was amazing.
And we're all doubters. Until, like, we just naturally doubt, like, the plucky story. Oh, Binnington. At some point, he's going to look like a minor league goalie.
Well, that's what the thing when they got. But they got him. I believe it was game three. Yeah, they got him, and they shell-shocked him.
Right.
He gave up, like, six goals, and they pulled him.
Right.
And it was like, five goals on a 19 shot, whatever it was. And they pulled him, and then it was like, they got to him. He's a deer in the headlights. He's shell-shocked for the rest of the series. And then the kid came back, and, like, he outplayed Tuukka two of the final three games. And who ever thought the Bruins would lose three games at home?
Right.
Three games at home.
To a minor league goalie.
Yeah. A career
who now has a Stanley Cup.
Right. Yeah, a rookie. A rookie.
But I blame the Bruins for some of that. There were times where, like, they never lifted the puck. He was down on the ice, and it looked like they had so many scoring opportunities.
Oh, you mean Nordstrom?
And
yeah, like, we never knew. We never, like when he hit the pad.
Now, I'm not a hockey player. I'm not going to say it's the easiest thing in the world, but you are. You're in the Stanley Cup final, game seven. There is an open. Shoot it.
And if
get it up. And if put it in the back of the net.
And if Marchand didn't shoot it right in Binnington's chest
right.
and actually went to his left, they would have put a goal in. There was so many things. Your thoughts on that? Did the Bruins choke? 617-779-7937. And if you do believe they choke, a lot of people are saying in this era, the Brady Belichick era since 01, really, was this the second worst loss in this era next to the 07 Patriots in Super Bowl 42 against Plaxico Burress and the Giants? 617-779-7937 on WEI. David's soft as f***.
This is James and Hart on WEI.
Hate the most on-air or off-air?
Both.
On-air you.
Okay.
Off air would probably be Mark James, even though I haven't really started working with him yet. He rubs me the wrong way. Seems like just a really phony, fake TV guy. Because I see him around Gillette a little bit, or just he just seems very fake to me. I don't.
So John, you're doing a show Sebastian just the two of you Saturday?
The two of us, yep. Right, 11 to 3.
I like
this.
Well,
you're friendly with a lot of the TV guys.
Okay, like whoever's Mike producer
Giardi, he's
is.
Fake a TV guy.
Mike Giardi's not fake. He's as genuine as they come. I don't know Mike Giardi that well. But at least I got. Within the first hour, I got you to admit that I'm not a TV guy. So that was
well, you made me admit it because you claim you're a radio guy.
Well,
so.
I don't claim. I mean, it's just on my resume. It's all I've done most.
Well,
of
you
the
write
last
your resume.
Years. No, but I'm just saying that's all I've worked in for most part is radio. So
oh, by okay, the way, give me 30 seconds.
I know why Eamon went back to that because it was a little thing. Like, I don't know who the producer is. It's Eamon.
Eamon's doing a fine job.
Yes. Well,
stirring the pot.
Don't overrate him though. He gets a big head every
now
and then.
Is he allowed to go to the bathroom? Did you used to ban people from going
Johnny,
to the bathroom?
Well, that's Johnny, a fact. Because John, no, not you. Because John Anderson.
No, you wouldn't dare try that with me.
No, John Anderson.
Because you should tell him to go f himself. If an adult tells another adult,
yeah,
you
Mark
can't
knows
go to the
I
bathroom,
would have said that.
Like, hey, Hart, when you're doing a show for 4 hours, okay, and as you talked about, we talked before. You're basically your unofficial unpaid co-hosts are the callers.
Right.
If you're going to the bathroom doing a dump and taking 18 minutes in the bathroom, then that means I have to answer the phone. I'm not, you know, and I do it. I'll get in there and answer the phone, but he was doing it a lot.
He has IBS. I have IBS. Yeah.
What's that?
Irritable bowel syndrome. You got to go to the bathroom a lot sometimes.
You admitted that on the air.
Yeah, why not?
Okay. But you're an open book.
I told
man.
You, I'm not sensitive.
No,
I don't care if you like me, hate me, want to work with me, don't want to work with me.
Right.
It is what it is.
No. IBS.
And I have to admit, I forgot, I wanted to say this.
Oh.
Your stupid, idiotic nicknames kind of work. You kind of got in my ear. And I'll tell you, I was literally walking through the woods just thinking about Kyrie. And something popped up like a Bleacher Reporter. And you know what my brain said? Byrie Irving.
He's
bye-bye.
Gone. Me, yep. Myself, and Irie Irving.
And I blame you for that. Because it's stupid, but somehow
it works.
The earworm or something got stuck in my head. I'm dumber for it.
Byrie Irving?
Kyrie Irving, Byrie Irving, whatever
He's
you want to call him.
He's
now,
gone.
Some of yours are terrible. That I hope you. Do you issue retractions?
Some of them are not great, but
Phony Michelle? He didn't look phony in the postseason.
No, he was great.
You and Maz both needed to walk back your opinions on Phony Michelle.
The only thing I'm going to say.
The dead sucks.
The only thing I'm going to say about Sony Michelle.
Is he missed mini camp to a knee injury?
Oh, I don't care about that. I don't care about none of that stuff. My only thing is that now that he proved himself and he had the greatest postseason for a rookie running back in NFL history, I just want to make sure now he doesn't turn into Joseph Addai 2.0.
Phony Michelle
is a rookie running back for the Colts who took my. Not related. Edgerrin James ended up going to the Cardinals and get the big money.
Oh,
Colts didn't want to pay him.
But then Joseph Addai, what did he do after that Super Bowl season? Not much. Well,
that was because he wasn't that good.
Yeah,
that's
Sony,
the dirty little secret.
Sony, you know,
I used to call him just a guy.
So
maybe you and I share stupid nickname brains.
We call those Jags, just another guy. The one thing I will say about Sony Michel, and I going back to his days at Plantation American Heritage High School down in, Fort Lauderdale, Plantation, Florida, in Georgia, he did not do this year. They said he had one, but I don't remember it. I don't think he put the ball on the ground. They said he had one fumble on his stat sheet. I don't remember.
Is that when he got hurt? He may have, when he hurt his knee in Chicago, it was the second time he hurt his knee this year, he may have fumbled on the play.
I don't remember it. Like
no,
he
didn't. He was a very good rookie
running
back.
That's what I'm saying.
Back.
And that was the knock on him. Well, he had a little Ridley in his game in college.
But he also didn't live up to the hype in terms of explosive plays. He was just a sort of generic 4.5-yard type running back this year, which is fine.
Right.
I'll take it. You won a Super Bowl, in my opinion, because of how good he was throughout the postseason. Those opening drives against the Chiefs and the Chargers, he carried you. He set a tone with the offensive line, set a tone. But if I'm looking for a first-round running back, I'm looking for the next step. And first of all, I'm not looking for you to be hurt and miss games every year to a knee issue, because that smells a lot like Malcolm Mitchell, a fellow Georgia Bulldog.
Guy, yeah.
I'm looking for you to be dynamic, to be that 12, wear you down, and go 45 to say, peace out, game's over. But Sony Michel was not a phony.
I didn't like the pick of a running back in the first round. I still stick by
that. A lot of people didn't, and a lot of people, that's a philosophical thing.
Yeah, I mean, to me, unless you have a talent like Ezekiel Elliott or Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, it's funny. A year earlier, now we come full circle to the start of the show, where you called Dave Gettleman a racist. What did he do a year ago?
Saquon.
Took Saquon Barkley, which, if I'm not mistaken, is black?
No, first of all.
Is he black?
I never
Over
said.
Over who? Sam Darnold, right? Who is...
Yeah, well that,
white?
That wasn't that was
white.
That was who's a better.
So
who'd
it wasn't
a, better
a racial
pick?
Decision.
Who's
then?
A who'd been a better pick for them? Darnold.
We'll see.
Well, so far the
we'll
Jets
see.
Finally got. No, I'm not.
If Daniel Jones hit, then they're fine because they have a running back who's a Hall of Famer and a quarterback.
Dave Gettleman gave a huge contract to Cam Newton. He didn't draft him, so he gave a comment. He's not a racist. I was just asking. Like, I don't understand why you would pick Daniel Jones over Dwayne Haskins
because he likes him better.
That was
it happens. It happens. He
we'll
likes
see.
Him better.
We'll see.
And we will see because this is a production-based business. And if he stinks, Gettleman will be out of a job.
He will
and
be.
He'll be laughed at, especially if Haskins is legit. He's a franchise quarterback.
I think he's the best quarterback
we'll
in this
out.
Draft.
We'll find out.
I think he's the best quarterback in the draft.
The counter
and
to
I hate
my
Ohio State players.
The counter to my Daniel Jones, people love him in New York right now. They like Haskins, too. He has been good this summer, so who knows? It's probably all a bunch of BS.
We'll find out. I mean, time will tell. Maybe Daniel Jones will be okay. I'm still not like the Mitch Trubisky over Deshaun
great?
Watson.
What if Daniel Jones is great?
Then I
what if he's like from the Manning tree and is a multi-ring winner?
That'll never happen. 617-779-7937. Did the Bruins choke? I say yes.
No.
You say
God,
what?
God, no.
John in a truck. What's up, John?
Hey, guys.
Hey.
I got a couple statements and a couple observations on this game. I think this series was some of the most physical hockey I've ever seen. And in Game 7, I think that the Blues played disciplined hockey and didn't fall for the Bruins' crap. And they stayed out of the penalty box.
Well, but John, hold on a second. The last time there was a Game 7 in the Stanley Cup playoffs, I believe this was prior to Thursday night, the referees called a grand total of 3 penalties. So they're going to swallow the whistle
Correct.
In a Game 7 anyway. So I don't think it was the more disciplined. The bottom line is what you were saying there at the beginning, John. They were more physical, not only in Game 7, but the entire series. And the big bad Bruins, the days of Derek Sanderson, number 4 Bobby Orr, those days are long gone. They're not the big bad Bruins anymore. They're the skilled, somewhat finesse Bruins. And Pasternak, to me, got exposed in this series.
Yes, I agree. But I think the Bruins were more physical than the Blues, or at least more intelligently physical and stayed out of the penalty box. All right, fine. So the refs had a little bit of, they backed off a little bit. But again, and then Marchand, you know, the super jerk of the team, bails with 10 seconds.
Yep.
And last thing is, I'm glad that I wanted the Bruins to win, but if the Bruins were going to get beat, I'm glad they got beat by the Blues and not the Capitals or Pittsburgh or you know, all these.
Or Tampa. Right. No, I mean, I don't know how much consolation that is.
Yeah.
I mean, you lost.
Yeah. Who cares?
Yeah. To me, it hurts more. I'll just tell you, I would have rather lost to Carolina than lose game 7 at home in Stanley Cup.
Yeah, I wouldn't, just because I'm always a believer in going further. This gets into the Ben Volen thing that it's better. It hurts Tom Brady when he goes to a Super Bowl and loses.
No, I don't buy into that crap.
You're always going to want to go as far as possible in competition.
Nobody's been a 9. Yeah. I mean, no.
But you just, when you compete, you want to go as far as, right. as possible.
Like, and I could see it for a while when Brady had gone, at one time when he had gone to, he lost one to the Giants and he was with 4-1.
Yeah.
4-1. So I could see at that time the Montana argument, but that's been a moot point because Montana only went to 4 and Brady's won 6.
And Montana lost plenty of earlier playoff rounds. And that's what people forget.
And here's the thing. If it wasn't for Nick Foles' performance, one could make the argument, and I said this, that Tom Brady could have been the MVP against the Eagles.
He was
for 500 yards, 3 touchdowns, and no picks.
Absolutely ridiculous, which is...
Isn't it amazing how much if you look at him now, they showed the ring ceremony after he won the first one,
yep.
And he had this puffy face and this bad leather jacket, which he made fun of on social media. He looks so much better.
It's the diet.
Dude, that TB12, it works.
Well, yeah.
Not
the way he says it works. Like, it doesn't prevent sunburns and things that he goes
through. You gotta drink a lot of water.
Or concussions.
I drink Mountain Dew and Coke.
But I don't think it's a revelation to say if you eat well and don't eat cheeseburgers and beer every night.
And strawberries. He doesn't like to eat strawberries.
Well, that's a little weird, too. I like strawberries. But if you eat well, you're gonna look good, right? It's just sort of general. I think your grandmother could tell you, mix in a salad, drink a lot of water, your skin will look better, you're not gonna be puffy, all those things. And...
617-779-7937. We didn't even get to this, too. So talk more about the Bruins choking game 7.
No. We'll talk more about the Bruins coming up short, but not choking.
They choked.
My name's on the show, too,
When your former employer, Robert Kraft, was there the other night, Gronkowski was there the other night, Edelman was there the other night, they choked. Kurt Schilling.
Edelman choke?
Super Bowl. You know what, though? It was a little disappointing. I like the Liam Fitzgerald.
A retread?
I like the Liam Fitzgerald thing. I don't think Edelman should have done it.
Well, the problem is he had already done it.
That's what I mean.
Cup run.
Right.
Like, if you just said he hadn't done it
if he's the
Super Bowl MVP, let's bring him out, boom, he'll chug a beer like Stone Cold, all of that, that's great. Except for the fact that he had already done it.
If you're going to bring someone back to have done it in Game 7, it should have been Bobby Orr.
Bill Russell. Well, Bobby Orr would be good, too.
Bill Russell, though, is in a wheelchair.
Well, he's not. Did you see him? That was a precautionary measure. He actually tweeted out or Instagrammed or some social media some video of him playing golf. It was precautionary because the chaos on the court, wanted to make sure, he is old.
And he had some troubles.
He's
out
not,
there.
Quote, in a wheelchair.
All right, 617-779-7937. Mark James, Andy Hart, and WEEI. We will get to your phone calls. Oh, and we also didn't mention this story, which has transcended the world of sports. Big Poppy, David Ortiz. We'll get into all that and more coming up next hour right here on WEI.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.